Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. Hello, I am so glad that you decided to join us today. The sermon that you're about ready to hear is titled, The Blessing of Divine Delay. The Blessing of Divine Delay. And we're going to start off our sermon in Genesis chapter 37. And we're going to read through verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to go straight into our service and join the sermon there. So let's get our Bibles out. Let's look at chapter 37 of Genesis, and I'm going to read with you verses 1 through 11. Are you ready? It says, Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. All his brothers said to him, Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. In verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So let's go to the service now and listen to the rest of the sermon. And I really believe this is going to be a great blessing to your life, because all of us have had to wait on something that we were believing for. Something we were waiting on. It takes great patience to wait, but God uses the blessing of divine delay to change us and to mold us into the people that he desires us to be. Are you ready? Let's go to the service. This dream that Joseph had caused a lot of problems. Again, we don't know why he went and did this, but he did it. The jealousy and the bitterness and the strife came in, and it caused a whole lot of problems in these people's lives. So we ask the question, why did God give Joseph this prophetic dream that he wasn't going to bring to pass until many years later? Why did he do it knowing this was going to take place? Well, he did. He knew it was going to happen. And that's the thing about God's sovereign providence. He just knows what's going always to go on. Nothing takes God by surprise. Didn't God know this would happen? Of course he did, but he let it happen anyway. He even let parental favoritism take place, which caused a lot of this to go on in the first place, but he let it all. There was a purpose in mind. And the thing about it is, he was going to use this purpose to change Joseph, to do something. And if nobody else, this is for us today. Amen. This happened so we can glean from this and realize that all of us are going to be waiting in life for something. We're all going to go through times of, my goodness, God, when is this going to ever end? When's the promise coming? When is this situation going to end and something new, this new thing I'm believing for that you've even showed me, when's it going to come to pass? Has anybody been there? And Joseph suffered for this purpose. And even though it was difficult to see any purpose, at the time that these things happened. And I will say very emphatically, the fact that we may be going through tribulation and discomfort in waiting does not necessarily mean that we are walking out of the will and the plan of God. We've said this many times. Even if you're going through difficulties and you're going through a waiting time, it doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. It's just the way God works. It's the way He operates. It's the way He changes us. Pitfalls and difficulties, they have their purpose. None of us want this. We all want this to be really easy. I mean, really, we do. Does anybody want to wait on stuff? Nobody does. We don't want to wait on things in the microwave. We want to hurry up. We don't want to wait on anything. We want what we want right now, don't we? We just do. But God uses these things to change us because He knows how we are in our flesh, and He wants to get into our spirit man and have it grow and become strengthened. Romans 8:28, we've talked about it a few weeks ago. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. How many of y'all love God and you're all called according to God's purpose? Amen? Well, everything's going to work out, even this time of waiting. If you love God, everything, all things will work out for good. Even the difficulties and the sufferings and the pitfalls, they will work out. There's a purpose in all of it for us. Again, if you're in sin, you'll suffer the consequences of that sin. But man, if you're pressing into God and you're doing what God's called you to do, and you're living that life the best you can, and you're, you know, you may make a mistake and you ask for forgiveness, but you pick yourself up and you keep on going, there's going to be pitfalls in your life, but there's an intended purpose in these pitfalls. There's an intended purpose in us having to wait on things. I've realized this. We don't always need to know the whys. We don't need them always answered to move ahead. Sometimes people get stagnant waiting for the answer before they move. Keep moving forward. Amen? Keep moving forward. You don't need to have all the answers. What we always need, though, is faith. We always need faith. Faith in the plans of God, even if we still have not seen them in their fullness. We don't get caught doing nothing because we got to have the why answered. We move forward in faith. We have faith in God's plans. Amen? We've learned about this, that we know the present, right? And we know the past, but that's all we know. But we've got to remember we serve a God that knows the future. Amen. He not only knows the past, the present, but I think if we all got the understanding that God already knows He's already got it worked out, why don't we get there? That's why He always tries to build us until we get there. Till we just know that He knows the future and He's got it worked out. Yes, if you're not where you should be, there's going to be consequences. But if you're living as you should be, He knows the end. He's already got it set. He's already been there. But along the way, from point A to point B, there's pitfalls and difficulties and waiting times that He uses for His purpose because He just wants us to be like Christ. So let's look at some pitfalls that Joseph went through. Pitfall number one, he was thrown into an empty well. Genesis 37:18-28. They saw him from afar, it says. Those are his brothers. And before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. So he's even on the way there. His father sent them to them. And they are starting to conspire the moment they see him. In verse 19 in chapter 37, and they said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come on now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has..." Now they're lying, deceiving. Man, jealousy, man. "We will see that an animal has devoured him and thrown him into the pits. Then we will see that a fierce animal has devoured him. And we will see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, throw him into the pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, Now picture this scene, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. They threw him into a well, and it says specifically the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And I wonder if God worked it out that way that he wouldn't drown. It's all God's providence wanting to fulfill his purposes. They sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. So they sold their brother for 20 shekels. I picture the scene. He's coming down, and they're conspiring to do something to him. He gets there. Somebody grabbed him first, and I would imagine Joseph didn't just stand there and say, "Take my coat." He's probably wondering what's going on. He's the young guy, and they're grabbing him. His older brothers are probably pushing him around, and maybe they're punching him while they're doing it, but they're treating him terribly. They're ripping his coat off of him. Then they take him over to a well, and imagine throwing someone down a well, and on the way down, banging back and forth across the concrete or stone walls in that well, and then coming to settle in the bottom of a well. Who knows what was in the bottom of the well? I've heard scholars or some people who are, you know, commentators say there's probably scorpions down there, snakes down there. And if there were scorpions and snakes down there, even in God's providence, he didn't get bit by one of them. There's a purpose. There's an intended end here. I am sure this is not what he expected. He had a dream and never expected this to happen. We never expect some of the things that go on in our lives. We would never expect them. Everything is going along fine, then bam, all of a sudden we're thrown into our own well. And we also see the heartless character of his brothers sell their brother for 20 shekels. They're eating their food while he's probably screaming and crying out from the well. They're just sitting there having their meal. And he's in terror. Pitfall number two, he was sold to the Ishmaelites. So the envy of his brothers prompted them to sell him as a slave. So we stop for a moment, put ourselves in Joseph's position. Imagine the questions that he probably had. His life in just a moment was dramatically changed. Hold on to that thought. Remember that, what I just said. It was dramatically changed in a moment. He's just coming and doing what his father asked him to do. Next thing he knows, he's being sold as a slave to Egypt. A few hours before, he's in his house with his father. Father loves him. He's got a dream of his future. Now he's going to Egypt as a slave. I don't think he understood probably what had happened. Same goes for us. We don't understand the reasons behind some things that are going on in our lives. Anybody ask God, why are you doing this? So let me repeat again. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And whether we like it or not, we're going to have to wait. Waiting on God and his timing requires patience. It's the blessing of divine delay. God divinely delays the end from coming to make us into something that we wouldn't have been if we didn't have to wait. I thank God. And I have to stand here and go, God, thank you for the delay. Because it's making me have to change, making me have to transform. It's making me have to go deeper. It's making me, and the sad thing about it is some people will just give up in the middle of it. Joseph never did. And that's why it was such an awesome ending. We have a view. Our view is limited. God has a full view of everything. The link or the key is that our limited view, the link between our limited view and his perfect and complete view is faith. So what links us between the way we see things and the God's picture of all things is we have to have faith to know that God's going to work this out. So if our faith submits our imperfect vision to his perfect vision and denies acting only according to what our imperfect view says, we can't live our lives each day just going off the imperfect view that we have of our life and what's going on in life right now. We've got to have the faith to believe and know that God is working this out. And every life in this room is going to be different than the next life. What you're going through may not be like what the other person's going through, but every one of us, what we're going through is that thing we're going through for us. But we all have our situations that we're going through. But it doesn't mean we give up, doesn't mean we give in, doesn't mean we complain, doesn't mean we back up on God. We're supposed to keep on moving forward, not having all the whys answered. Maybe I'm just preaching to me, but we got to keep on going forward. Because God has an end to this. There's a purpose for his divine delays. He always knows what he's doing. Pitfall number three, he was sold to Potiphar. 300 miles from Dothan, where he originally started this journey of divine delay. He ended up in Egypt. The mode of travel, I looked this up at that day, was camel, donkey, and foot. The normal distance covered in a day, if all was well, was about 20 miles. So it took 15 days to get there. And imagine that for 15 days in shackles and fetters on his feet as a slave going to Egypt, probably not being fed well. He just had a dream. He's just in his home and his dad loves him. And the next thing he knows, he's on this terrible, dusty, probably no water, probably treated like dirt. And he's on his way to Egypt as a slave, fettered and chained. Imagine traveling through that, wondering, why in the world? What about my dream? What about my future? Why am I in this? I've been doing everything I was supposed to be doing. How long is this ordeal going to last? How much longer do I have to be patient with this? Why is this happening to me? The blessing of divine delay. So over in chapter 39, come back into his story, verses 1 through 6. And I hope this is going to be a blessing to somebody here today because of what we're going to read in this. It says in verse 1, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Do you think he felt like the Lord was with him? I don't know. I wasn't there. He must have felt something. Y'all, I want to tell somebody in here, no matter what you're going through, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you today. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Pause. Don't think that God doesn't have you where you are for any specific reason. He does, because where he puts you, he can bless that business simply because you're there. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field, so he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. So everything's looking up now. Everything's going good. It's all over. He got sold there. Potiphar has a favor on him. He doesn't have to wait on his dream anymore. He can almost see it now. All the pitfalls are behind him. Life smiling on Joseph again. Everything's going great. This is awesome. Here it comes. My dream's coming true. He had a good job. He's in charge of the property of one of Pharaoh's officers. I'd imagine this was an ideal job for any Egyptian, let alone a stranger. He's got this great job now. However, things are going to change again very suddenly. And you think it always and only happens to you. That's why we have these accounts in the Word of God to encourage us. Pitfall number four, he was falsely accused and then thrown in prison. So now everything's going great. Y'all know this part of the story. Everything's going great. But Potiphar's wife thought he was good looking. And apparently Joseph was really handsome. Young, handsome. She sees him. She's constantly coming after him saying, basically, I want you, I want you. I want you, I want you. But there's too many people around. So she's going to wait till there's no one around. And then she gets him alone. Basically looks at him, and I would imagine she's probably pretty good looking. He could pick any woman that he wanted. So he's got this really fine looking woman, or really attractive woman. in the house. They're alone. You talk about purity. It says he was handsome in form and appearance. She said, "Lie with me." And he said, but he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And she spoke to Joseph day after day. He would not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. And then because of it, she accuses him of raping her. And what happens to him? Everything was going good, man. They throw him in prison for 2 years. The interesting point about the prison was that he was sent to the king's prison. He could have been sent with the common criminals, but he was sent into the king's prison, which is going to be a key to getting to Pharaoh. So even in that, God's providence steps in and sends him into the right prison. But still, he's going through this. But in this whole thing, God's providentially, I hope this is ministering to somebody, because I look at this, I look at it in my own life. He's providentially moving all these things and making sure this is still in place, but all the while it seems like it's really bad, but behind the scenes, he's set this in place the right way and that in place the right way. He's still there. He's still there. It's not going the way he expected, but God's providence is still in play. And if he looked at it with his physical eyes, he should have been in great misery. He might even want to resign from life. He didn't do it. This was a lot different than he was expecting. He had all these dreams, and people will prophesy over you through the Spirit, an actual prophetic word, and man, you got all these dreams, and these things are going to happen, and that's going to happen, and all of a sudden, all these things start happening, and you're wondering, where is God in all this? What? Have I done something wrong? Why is this like this? Why isn't it happening? Has anybody ever been there? Yeah. 21 and 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. But he's in prison. But even in his providential love, God still in the prison gives him favor. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. Still put him in charge. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Even in prison, even in this situation, even now he's sitting in jail, God is still with him, and he's still doing these providential things and giving him favor. But the Lord was with Joseph, and I believe it's the same with all of us. If you're in here today, oh, just know the Lord is with you. No matter how long it seems it's been, and no matter how long you've been waiting for the end, the Lord is with you. And I want all of us to look back and think, and when you leave here today, think of all the, even in where you are right now, maybe you feel like you're in prison. But just look back and see all the things that God, by his hand, has still been working out. He's still been paying your bills. He's still been blessing you with peace. He still brings this channel of blessing in here, and he'll still bring this little channel of blessing in there. The Lord is with you. Amen. It's the blessing of divine delay. Where is God on all this? He's with you. It's the blessing of divine delay. Everybody say, thank you for your delay. We simply need the patience to know regarding our future. Because we don't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. So you all know the story. He even gets messed over by the chief cupbearer. I would have thought Joseph would have, you know, wanted to punch that guy, just punch him out. Chief cupbearer in chapter 40, you know, him and the baker get thrown into prison, the cupbearer and the baker, and they have dreams. Joseph interprets their dreams. Then he asks the chef, the cupbearer says, when you go up before Pharaoh, please speak well of me. Tell him I interpreted your dream. And he says, absolutely, man. I'll remember you for sure. Didn't. He forgot about him. Come on, man. All you got to do is say something good about me. And he forgets about him. So again, he sits in prison for 2 full years. I think, man, can't this guy get a break? That's what my imperfect view thinks. Because my imperfect view would have been going, can't this guy get a break? I don't have full view. God's got full view. God's thinking, I'm working this all out. I did it on purpose. God did that on purpose. He kept that guy from saying something about Joseph on purpose. So God uses him to interpret these dreams. More waiting, more divine delay. If you're going to follow God, nothing's by accident. So now, 2 full years, Pharaoh has a dream. In chapter 41. So now that finally leads to Joseph being pulled out of the king's prison. Again, providentially in that particular prison. Pulls him out of the prison because he's known as the interpreter of dreams. And now he brings him out of prison, stands him up in front of Pharaoh to interpret his dreams. And he has this interpretation, 7 years of famine, 7 years of abundance. And now Pharaoh is left with a situation. I have to appoint somebody to make sure this is all handled well. We got to make sure that in these 7 years of famine, that someone's able to take the food and store it and store it up and work well with it, maintain it, you know, manage it, be a steward over it. And he ends up picking Joseph. Puts him in charge of it. Now Joseph literally is the second highest position in Egypt. There's no one greater, only Pharaoh. He was, and I wrote this down, bullet point for me, he was faithful in little, so he's put in charge of much. Amen. So now he takes Joseph, puts him in charge, puts him in a position being the ruler of Egypt. So here's the thing, as suddenly as Joseph was sold into exile as a slave, just as suddenly, he was made the second man in charge of everything in Egypt. Just as, you say, suddenly, just as suddenly. He's pulled out of prison. He's sent into exile. Then he's pulled out of prison, and immediately, it's you. So just as suddenly as you went into this thing, God can bring it to an end. It can be a phone call. It can be someone walking up to you. It could be however God wants to do it. God can bring it to an end whenever God wants to bring it to an end. All within God's plan. Chapters 52 and 56 show how beautifully God arranged the reunion of the family in Egypt, which in turn brought to pass the fulfillment of his dream that he dreamed years and years and years earlier. And let me make this really clear. It took about 13 years from the time Joseph was sold to Egypt to the time he stood before Pharaoh, then 7 years of plenty plus 2 more years into the famine, 22 years. 22 years from pitfall number one to dream fulfillment. 22 years. Dream, 22 years. You say, but he was a teenager. He had plenty of time. I don't have 22 years. I still want to be able to walk around. That's what you say. I don't have 22 years, God. The blessing of divine delay was there to perfect him and mold him and shape him. Psalms 105, I'll just read it. You can write it down. 17 through 19 says this about this account. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. God had appointed a time for his word concerning Joseph to come to pass. 105, 17 through 19. And up to then, the word of the Lord tested him. And it wasn't because of bad luck. It wasn't because of bad circumstances. And it wasn't because of a lack of faith. It was because that was God's plan. But in your own life, I could look at every one of you and say, What are you waiting for? 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 What are you believing for? What are you expecting to happen? Know this to somebody. God can do this with one phone call.
one phone call, one letter, one email, one text.
Man, we may not like it, but patience is built through the blessing of divine delay. We need patience to do the will of God. Amen? Waiting on the necessary next step. So I close with these simple words. I look at all of you in here, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're dealing with today, God knows it. The Lord is with you today. The Lord wants to do a great work in you today. The Lord has an end to this today. Hang in there, because it's right around the corner. Like Joseph, stay faithful and know that God can see you through this.
Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.